Is it time? I hear the music.
I don't know where that came from.
I have no idea. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And that simply means that at every moment during the year, something is changing. Something is changing. So the fact that I see a deer today doesn't really change much. But if I see a deer and it is rubbing on a tree to take the velvet off its antlers, or if it's sparring against another tree, or if it's scraping the ground clear in order to urinate and leave a scent for its compatriots, those are phenological events. Seeing a deer is just seeing a deer. But what's the deer doing? What is happening? That's what phenology is. So here in early October, I generally try to throw together a list of plants that are still in flower, plants that I can find that are blooming. And just a quick list of a half a dozen plants that I came across in the last week or so that still had flowers on them included harebell, yarrow, oxeye daisies, red clover, New England asters, tansy, and hoary alyssum. Now, there are more. I haven't seen them all, and you may have a few that you want to add to that list. Among those that I listed, the New England aster is a non-native plant to this area. You can procure them at various locations. We grew ours from seed as part of a prairie seed mix. And the interesting thing about the New England asters is that they bloom this time of year and bloom profusely. And they're a really beautiful aster. Once they get started, they're good to go. We have a couple of big patches in our yard, and we enjoy them very much this time of year. So among the wildflowers there, of course, many are you're familiar with. The hoary alyssum, of course, and red clover, daisies, yarrow, tansy. They're going to persist, and they will be around for a few more days or weeks if we don't get some frost. Frost is usually the ultimate arbiter of how long flowers will bloom in the fall. Among other things that I've observed, one of the notes that I made this past week was that red oaks have supplanted the maples as the primary reds of the area. So up until early last week, just after we talked last week, the red maples were the predominant red color in the woods. And last week, about Thursday or Friday, I noticed that the red oaks were starting to take over from the red maples and starting to be the predominant reds of the forest. In my yard, I would estimate that about 70% of the maples in my yard are bare. They have already dropped their leaves. The other 30% range from a few leaves, a few tattered yellow leaves, to some that are still green, and Lord knows what sort of phenology they're on, but obviously they are not of the same genetic makeup as the ones that are completely bare. There's a discrepancy there. And speaking of genetic makeup, this is a really good time of year to once again note the clonal nature of aspens. Aspens, the big tooth aspens and the trembling aspens are especially noticeable this time of year because they are turning, in the case of the big tooth aspens, they're turning quite orangey red. And this looks like it's going to be a really good year for big tooth aspens to be orangey red. If the ones that I'm looking at are any indication, some years those big tooth aspens just are yellow and maybe have a few orangey, reddish-looking leaves on them. But I have seen clumps of them that are quite red already, and I expect that to maintain. The clonal nature of both those and the trembling aspens, which are turning yellow right now, the clonal nature of them is that they are interrelated. So if you have a patch of trembling aspen in your yard, chances are they're all turning yellow at the same time. And that's because they're all the same tree, really. They share the same genetics. They are clones of one another. And this is very characteristic of the aspen family. And so watch as you see now, as the aspens begin to start to predominate the color, and the big tooth aspen orangey red and the trembling aspen yellow, watch and see if it isn't like a group of them. So I have a single aspen that I keep track of, and that guy is still completely green. But on the other side of my yard, I have a patch of big tooth aspens that are clonally related. They are identical. And that whole patch is kind of a beautiful, sort of a salmon color right now and working its way towards orange. So be aware that they oftentimes change as a group. Other things that I've been noticing this past week, the berries on the asparagus are ripe. So if you have these big green, fuzzy-looking plants that are maybe 4 or 5 feet tall and are covered in red berries, those are asparagus. And if you are wise, you will mark where they are and then go back in the springtime and harvest some of the new shoots and really enjoy a great meal. The asparagus will be turning sort of a yellow orange this fall, and it's beginning. I can see a little bit of it on some of the asparagus, but they're going to really start turning yellow orange. Back to the berries. I don't remember if I mentioned this or not, but my friend Jeff Burcham up in Bedette has a beautiful patch of asparagus, and right 100 feet away, the power line runs down the county road by his house. And if you drive that power line, there is like a quarter mile of asparagus growing under the power line. And the reason is that the birds eat the berries and then go sit on the power line and go to the bathroom, and that berry, the seed that was in that berry, falls to the ground with a little bit of nitrogen around it and ends up growing new asparagus plants. So, and this is true not only of asparagus, but a lot of plants that are putting out fruits this time of year that the birds will come and eat and then pass them through. And once they go through the bird, they are going to sprout new plants. Red elderberry is a good example of that. Lots of red elderberry gets planted by birds after they have eaten some of the berries. And the same thing is true of winterberry or northern holly. And the berries are pretty sparse on my northern holly this year, but there are a few. And oddly enough, when I walk my trails, and my trails are not, you know, you couldn't drive a truck down them. The four-wheeler fits down them all right. The bicycle is perfect. But those trails, I'm seeing a lot of northern holly along the trails. And the northern holly, a week ago, the leaves on the northern holly were green, which made them easy to spot because all of the hazelbrush, which is the predominant shrub of the North Woods, all of the hazelbrush were yellow or red last week. Yellow for the beaked hazel, red for the American hazel. All of them were quite red last week, and this week have mostly dropped their leaves. I would say they're down to their last maybe 10% of their leaves are remaining on the plants, and those will be falling off in the next day or so. I'm sure by the time we speak in a week, there will be very, very, very few leaves left on the hazelbrush. But the holly is turning, the leaves are turning a kind of a yellow green right now and still clinging to the plant in fairly large numbers. So it's pretty easy to pick them out among the shrubs that are growing on your property. And the interesting thing about the northern holly is that it's a very good bird source, as we talked about, and it is also kind of a neat plant to have around. So if you can find northern holly on your property, keep an eye on it. It's always fun to watch. I mentioned earlier this morning about striped skunks, seeing a lot of them dead on the highways. They are getting run over by cars. These are the juveniles that are being sent away by their mothers after a summer of following their mother around. Mom has said, hey, beat it. Time for you to move on, make your own life. And a lot of them haven't been introduced to the dangers of highways, and they get out there and get smashed. And so you're seeing a lot of dead skunks, dead raccoons, and dead porcupines. And most of them are smaller than the adult size. So if you see one of these dead animals, few of them are going to be the full adult animal. They're going to be a lot smaller than that. I have a silver maple in my yard, which is a close relative of all the other maples, of course, but it has a different habit. So the red maples in my yard, when they turn color, it's just like poof, and they're all one color. The silver maple turns a leaf at a time, and then the leaves begin to fall. And this past week, the number of leaves falling from the silver maples accelerated markedly. It was just kind of idling along for a while, and now they are falling wholesale, and they need a little bit of control off my deck in order to give me firm footing. It's a little slippery when you get a little dew on those things and then cover the deck with leaves. It can be kind of treacherous, so I'm being very careful, but the silver maple is dropping leaves by the buckets full. We've been talking about, in the past, we've talked about a pagoda dogwood, which is the alternate-leaved dogwood. All the other dogwoods in that group are opposite-branched. This one is alternate. And it has these layers of leaves. And I have one right in my yard that gets a lot of sun, and that one is nearly bare, probably down to its last 5% of leaves. But I have one on my driveway that this past week, it just began to change color. It went from green to kind of a yellowish red right now. And that's kind of interesting in that one has a lot of sun and the other has almost no sun. And so it's quite different in terms of phenology. And basically the only difference I can see genetically is that they are, you know, they're the same, but they're growing in different areas, and it's made a huge difference in their phenology. My wife Denise was out for a walk the other day and got into a nest of deer ticks. I haven't had any ticks, wood tick or deer tick, all summer long, and that was due to the dry heat of the summer. Those ticks just can't take that, and they go into a sort of a semi-dormancy where they just kind of stop moving around and try to just exist until things cool off and get a little wetter. Evidently, we've met those requirements because she got into a nest of them and found at least 15 on her pant legs. And so if you're getting out and about, you want to be really careful. Check yourself thoroughly for the deer ticks because they can carry some pretty nasty diseases. I'm seeing a few robins around. No big flocks right now, but there are some robins here and there. Denise mentioned that there were a couple that showed up at the bird feeder the bird bath the other day to take a bath. And so keep an eye out. Robins are around. Flickers are starting to move out of the area. I haven't seen a flicker in a couple of days, but I expect that they're not all gone yet. The bald eagles are kind of hanging around the nest. I don't know what's going on there. I talked to my neighbor Marvin, and We weren't sure. Between the two of us, we've been seeing them hanging around the nest, but we don't know why. We thought maybe one of the pair had returned to do a little bit of redecorating while the other one wasn't there. I don't know. But there's quite a bit of ruckus over at the Eagle's Nest these days. I mentioned earlier, tamaracks are starting to yellow, and that's about average. This is about the time of year. It's usually around the 1st of October that they begin to show some color, and that will go on until, probably mid-month, and then they will be free of their needles. A couple of mushrooms that have come up this past week, three really, that are pretty easy to identify. The Amanita muscaria, the bright yellowish orange topped one with white warts on it. That one is growing quite profusely and is to be avoided. The other ones that I've noticed that are growing well this week are shaggy manes, which are in the inky cap group, and pardon me, kind of a long sloping, think of an umbrella not quite on its way to being opened, sort of long, tall cap, lots of little shaggy growth on the top of the cap, and the older ones turn to this black goo, so you've got to watch carefully. They are edible when you get them young enough, but they also contain a chemical that if you were to have a drink with your meal eating shaggy manes, it would make you very sick. The other mushroom that I've noticed in this past week, and this one has kind of an interesting history, it's the Russula emetica. And Russulas are sort of in that group where some people can eat them and other people can't. And since you don't know that before you eat them, you're probably better off not eating them. They are they aren't going to kill you, but they'll leave you ever so sorry that you decided to eat them. These are the ones with the kind of red cap. They look a bit like an apple, about that kind of color of red. The deer eat them without harm, and squirrels pick the Russulas and hang them in trees and let them dry and then eat them after they have dried. So watch for those. And if you're walking in the woods and you see one of these Russulas hanging in a tree, it is absolutely common, and it is the work of the squirrels. They are trying to make sure that they get their food stored for winter. Final note, I was driving out my driveway yesterday. I happened to look out the window of the truck and down at the ground, and I see these bright red leaves, and I think, what the heck is bright red? That's too big to be blueberry, which is also turning red this time of year, but these were poison ivy, young poison ivy, and they were shockingly red, like maple red, and I'll probably have to come back and see if I can't beat those guys back a little bit before they become a problem. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have notes you'd like to share with us, we would love to hear from you. So give us a call and let us know what's happening in your yard.